A marathon is a race. And like a marathon, salvation through Jesus Christ is open to anyone. I don't know of any particular requirements that one must have other than to show up and to participate to be in a marathon. There are many folks who run half marathons, and there are those who run marathons, and a lot of times people claim that they get a great deal of enjoyment out of marathons. I don't know how you would, because except for the sense of accomplishment. But we do not need special permission to take part of a marathon. You do not need special permission to take part in salvation. It's available to everyone, provided the rules are followed. Years ago, there was a woman who claimed to have won a marathon. She was at the starting line. The starter's pistol was fired. She, along with everyone else, surged forward. She had planned to exit the race and to find her way around to the finish line, or near the finish line, and to re-enter the race and cross the finish line. Initially, it was believed that she had set a new record, that she had won this marathon, and she had done so with apparent ease. But when it was further investigated, it was found out that she did not follow the rules, and so the prize was taken from her. The same thing is true with salvation. There are many who claim to be seeking salvation, desiring the promise of God of eternal life, and they are trying to do so without following the rules. But the rules are set by God and recorded forever for us in His Word. All one has to do in order to enter the salvation marathon is to follow these rules. Now, I have never run a marathon. I've been in a few races, lost quite a few races. But I am told that running a marathon takes commitment. It takes discipline. It takes being able to overcome adversity, and is a long-term project. You do not start training for a marathon 2 weeks before the event. You begin building up to it, and you work, and you have to be dedicated. You have to be committed. You have to have the discipline to get up when you don't feel like getting up, and running, conditioning your body for the thing that's going to happen. You wake up and it's raining, and rather than being overjoyed that it's raining because you can't run, you get out and you run anyway. You overcome adversity and you prepare yourselves for it. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 through 27, our text this evening, also speaks about a race. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Again, as the Apostle Paul is writing this and talking about a race, notice that he points out that there are many participants, but only one receives the prize. We might very well think, well, there have been those that have crossed the finish line before us, so why should we continue on? That's the key to the whole thing. In this particular marathon called salvation, crossing the finish line is where you receive the prize. And everyone who crosses the finish line according to the rules receives the prize. He also has pointed out that we must do so according to the rule. But notice in verse 26, he says, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. He wasn't just running around in circles. I've seen folks sometimes when they're supposed to be doing something, and they seem to be just scurrying about, making all sorts of movements, but not really getting anything done. It's kind of like the cartoons when you see the legs just going away, but they're not moving anywhere. Paul said we can't go that way. We must keep under our bodies. We must bring it into subjection. We must be disciplined so that we might finish this salvation marathon. Let's look at the specifics. First, understand that salvation is a long-range project. It's not a one-and-done. It's not a sprint. I can just imagine, and I've seen this before, when the distance wasn't contemplated. Two people line up for a race, and one takes off like a flash. He is really cooking down the track. The other one is plodding along, seemingly taking his time, but he's plotted the course. He knows the duration of the race. And the one who started and has expended all of his energy slows down and slows down and slows down. And eventually, the one who's plodding along continues to go on past him and then eventually crosses the finish line. In Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 11, we'll see that salvation is like running a marathon and not a sprint. He says, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all. As we go through this life, the same things that affect one will affect us all in some way or another. Life happens to us. We often talk to people and wonder what happened to them relative to their salvation, and the truth of the matter is they allow life to get in the way. And we all must go through this thing called life. We've been granted this time so that we might serve God, but while we're doing it, while we are serving God, or while we are here on the earth, we are indeed involved in a marathon. And we must continue on. Both the marathon and salvation require proper preparation. Again, speaking of those involved in a marathon, they don't get up the day before the marathon and take off running. Some may, but they've not prepared. The same thing is true when it comes to salvation. In Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 through 9, we'll see Jesus speaking, and he tells the parable of the sower. And he talks about how that all of the seed doesn't fall at the place where it would gain the most growth. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and a great multitude were gathered together unto him. So that he went into a ship and sat, and while the multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow, and he sowed. Some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them, but other fell into good soil, and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath an ears to hear, let him hear. We need to understand that as we go through this life, everyone has the same opportunity of preparation. Everyone has the same opportunity, and one might say, wait a minute, I wasn't brought up hearing the gospel. But there came or comes a time in everybody's life in which they're able to read, and the Bible is available, and the same gospel is in the Bible that has been there since it was recorded for us, and we have the opportunity whereby we might prepare. But notice, if you will, this same seed that fell upon these different places, it was all the same seed. Only that which fell into good ground is that which brought forth fruit. Notice, if you will, the sower continued to sow. It didn't matter that some of the seed fell on the stony places. It didn't matter that some of the seed fell upon the place where there were thorns. But he continued to sow the seed. Spiritual growth and salvation, like a race, requires discipline. How do we accomplish discipline? If you turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5, we'll see that the first thing that we do in order to accomplish discipline is to follow the rules. He said, if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. Remember the woman who entered the marathon and then cheated? She had her prize removed from her. The reason she had her prize removed from her is because she tried to cheat. We also, in this marathon, are required to strive lawfully. I don't know if you're familiar with racehorses and the gear that they put on them. Sometimes they have blinders on them. The reason they have blinders on them is so that they will not see the things coming up beside them. Sometimes we, to a certain extent, must wear blinders, so that we might not be hindered by those things which are around us. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, we see that there is a great number of witnesses that we can see. But there is also a need to set aside those things which doth so easily beset us. When people prepare themselves to run a marathon, or when they go out to run a marathon, they do not do so with their army boots on. Sometimes they wear way too little. But they don't do so with a pack on their back and army boots. This is the way Christianity is. We need to be able to see those who are our great cloud of witnesses, but we need to set aside the things which would cause us not to be able to run this race. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. I want you to try this next time you decide that you want to run. I want you to do so looking over your shoulder. It's not so easy to do. Now, it's one thing to glance back, but I don't mean glance back. I mean run forward, looking backward, and see how far you get before you stumble, before you fall. Every runner I have ever watched, especially those who win the race, keep their eye on the prize. They're looking for the finish line. Not because when they get there, they're done. It's because that's where the prize is. That's the goal. And that's what we are to do. Salvation is a long-range project, and as we go through this life, and as we are seeking salvation, we are to keep our eyes upon Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. Because he will present that prize. Only faith can overcome adversity. You know, it's interesting as you read about athletes and you find out some of the adversity they overcome. It was interesting this year that there were those who were involved in Olympics that were after the Olympics. A lot of people don't know about those. They're called the Paralympics. There are those who go out and compete, and they've lost limbs and that sort of thing. And they are really heroes because they have overcome adversity. When it's so easy to sit down and quit, and it's easy to continue on when you're on top, isn't it? But what about when you have to struggle, when you have to work? Adversity will find us in our Christian walk. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 12 and 13, we see this. But we also need to understand that we needn't let it defeat us. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. We needn't worry about the temptations of this life because God has provided the means whereby we can overcome these temptations. Oh, they're going to be there. Adversity is going to be there. We need only to look to the life of Jesus. We see it in Luke chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. We see that Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterwards hungered. at his weakest point physically was when he was tempted. And guess what the first temptation was? Take these stones and turn them into bread if you're the Son of God. The Scripture has just told us here that he was hungered. But Jesus set before us the great example. The same example that we are to use. We are to go to the Word of God. And the reason he could do that, he knew the Word of God. He said, "It is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, we see that the Lord will provide us strength when we need it. If we will just lean upon him. If we will just seek that strength from him. Notice it says those who receive this, but those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. How many times throughout our lives have we thought we just can't go on? We just can't put one foot in front of the other one, not one more time. But we find the strength and we go on. When we face adversity, that must be the way it is. We have Bible examples of those who overcome adversity. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 32 through 36, we see the Hebrews writer giving us this biblical example. He says, "But call to remembrance the former days in which after you were illuminated," in other words, after they became a child of God, after they became Christians, "they endured a great fight of affliction, partly whilst you were made gazing stock both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst you became companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion of me and my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing that in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and enduring substance." The things of this earth meant nothing to them, because they knew that the prize was on the other side. It says, "Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath a great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, you might receive the promise." We need to realize and understand in this marathon called salvation that none receive the prize until the end of the race. There's no place to quit. We've actually had people to ask us when there was adversity, when there was division, when there was friction within a congregation, "What are you going to do?" The answer we usually give to people is, there's no place to get off. There's no place to quit. The prize is for those who finish the race. So therefore, we must be strong. We must be committed. And we must be faithful. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, we see which route we are to travel. But so many people fail to travel that way. He says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many be there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." There are not going to be as many people that find it as there are those who are traveling the broad way, the easy way, and find themselves at destruction's door. In order for us to finish the race, we've got to guard ourselves. We've got to watch ourselves. Timothy was told in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 through 8, some things that he should not do and some things that he should do. "But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness." While it is important for us to take care of our bodies, we see in verse 8, "For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having a promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come." If we take care of our spiritual selves, our physical selves will fall into line. Also in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8, we'll see the situation with Brother Paul. As he's writing to Timothy, He's getting close to the end of his life. He's realizing that his race is almost run. But he wants to offer encouragement as he's guided by the Spirit to do this. He says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." All those who remain in the race and cross that finish line can receive that same prize. But we must keep our eyes on the prize. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 24, again we see how it is expressed in the words of the Apostle Paul. When he looked upon this life and counted not this life dear unto himself, because he knew that on the other side of this life was the prize which we had just referred to in 2 Timothy 4, 6 through 8. He says, "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel of the grace of God." What gave him joy was living this life so that he might preach the gospel, so that he might tell others of the love of God and the grace of God and the salvation which is in Jesus Christ. And finally, this race is open to all. The route is set. The hurdles are clearly marked, and the way over them is mapped out. None of us have the benefit of saying, "I didn't know which way to go," because the Bible clearly tells us. In Titus chapter 2, verse 11 and 12, we see that all have access to the grace of God. It tells us there, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." And not only has it appeared to all men, it tells us how we ought to live, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. It can be done, but it has to be done in accordance to the rules which were laid out by God. It's sad. There are some who decide not to enter the race. Nobody's going to compel us to do so. In Luke chapter 8 and verse 5, again, we see about the sower. "A sower went out to sow seed, and he sowed, and some fell by the wayside. It was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it." Of course, we know that the seed is the gospel, but some do not receive it. The soil of their heart is way too hard. The explanation for this is found in verses 11 and 12 of Luke 8. Jesus oftentimes spoke in parables, and occasionally, at the request of his disciples, he would give the explanation for the parable. And here we find this one. "Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved." Even at that point, we can't blame the devil on it, because we know that it is available to us and we can seek it. But there are those who, for whatever reason, decide not to enter the race. The truth of the matter is, if they do not enter the race, they cannot receive the prize. There are those who enter the race but quit shortly thereafter. This is explained in Luke chapter 8, verses 6 through 7. "Some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell upon thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it." This seed landed upon the soil of the heart. It sprung up, but there was no depth for the root, or the cares of this life choked it out. In Mark chapter 10 and verse 25, Jesus told how the cares of this life could make it impossible for us to finish the race. He said, "Is it easier for the camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God?" The truth of the matter is, in this salvation marathon, difficulties abound. It's not an easy race. It's not a quick race. And some are looking for the easy way. There are those who want to find a shortcut. There is no shortcut. It has to be according to the law of God. In Luke chapter 13, verse 24, he tells us, "Strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter it and shall not be able." The race for spiritual salvation is a race that none of us can afford to lose. We need to discipline our minds to ensure that we finish the race and receive the final crown of life, the prize for which we all should be striving. However, if we have not entered that race, we will not receive that prize. If we enter the race and then do not finish the course, we will not receive the prize. And God has provided so that we might know how that we can receive that prize. Salvation is indeed a marathon. Have you begun your race today? If not, you need to know the requirements for entering into this marathon. The gospel plan of salvation is simple, and it's found in several places throughout the Bible. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, we're told that we must hear the gospel. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We must also believe. John 8:24 tells us, "I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins." We're told in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, among other places, that we are to repent. Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." And then we see in Romans chapter 10 and verse 10 that we are to confess. "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." And finally, in order to become a child of God and begin this marathon unto salvation, we must be baptized. Mark 16:16. "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." In a few minutes, we're going to sing an invitation song. And as we sing that invitation song, we're going to invite those who come to begin their spiritual marathon. But before we do, we need to also understand that part of that race, once we have begun, is to live faithfully until death. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 and 21 tells us the condition of those who have started their race and decided to quit. "For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them." Perhaps that's your situation tonight. Perhaps you started that race, but you've not finished. You've not remained on the course. You've not remained steadfast. If so, you can re-enter the race with God's blessing through repentance and prayer. Tonight, if you need to respond to the gospel invitation, won't you do so as together we stand and sing the invitation song.